This week on Two Noobs, the Eagles predictably got smoked in Tampa. We'll dissect this miserable season so you don't have to. Next, well, another problem with the EVs the government is trying to cram down our throats. How about we figure this out first, huh? Then, more government overreach as funny highway signs are about to get the boot. And finally, we conclude by reminiscing about what we used to pay for stuff and where we can get good value for stuff now. But poverty franchise Dallas Cowboys, they got toasted. Start the party music, gentlemen. Yes, we're partying here on Two Noobs because the Dallas Cowboys got absolutely thwacked by the Green Bay Packers last Sunday, right?
And we have to do this because we have to feel better over what happened. No question about it. I'd rather not have to deal with dying by a thousand paper cuts than choking like dogs in one playoff game. You know what I mean?
I already knew the Eagles suck. I'm just waiting for the Cowboys to join the party.
Exactly.
Yep. That sounds about right.
They joined it sooner than I think we probably even would have predicted. But it was fun to see anyway, just because Cowboy fans all thought they were going somewhere, and it was not to be.
They did not.
And they're running it back, too. So Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott will be back for round...
How many?
Four?
Oh, God.
I think. Something like that? Four or five? Yeah.
Big shout out to Doug P. Who got the thing done quickly. He was headed out.
My gosh. You know, it's interesting now that it's almost been 7 years, oh my gosh, since they won the last championship. I am so glad that happened. You know, because it's like, could you imagine if they had not won it, gents? Like, if it was still... a problem? Oh my gosh. I don't know what the city would be doing.
I don't think I'd be watching at this point if they didn't win, because it was getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like one to another to another. It was just getting ridiculous. And I think they got some fans from their championship win. But we will talk about it later.
Yes, we're getting quite ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
We are here for episode 170, crap. Three. 173. I have just been outside snow blowing. For an hour. And I had the Andy Reid nose popsicle.
But you learn how to not go on that. You learn how not to go on national TV coming at you.
Exactly.
Well, it wasn't national TV, John. Remember, it was on Peacock. So
I totally forgot. They had to pay more money.
Despite what the NFL claims they got on Peacock. I have that. I suspect it's a lie. But anyway, episode 173, Jay, John. Over here, because of the weather, we've got Jetstream John Tracy. Over on this side, it's mixed precipitation Matt Craig.
There you go.
I am snowbound Steve Murray here in the middle. But I did manage to get out and get some pizza. So
and looking swole.
Good.
So you're fine.
Oh, good.
That's right. Yeah. Bang. All right.
There you go.
So, Matt, how are you making out with the snow? Today.
Well, I'm very
you don't
pleased.
Have to do shit, so you know.
No, which is great, but I am very pleased to report that the Mythbusters experiment of drinking alcohol in sub freezing temperatures does in fact work. My goodness, that was tough to do today. But I had a great time with a good buddy of mine, so downed a few beers, but as I was downing them, it became readily apparent that my extremities were starting to get colder and colder and colder. And it was like, you know, I kind of want to stop right now. I think it would be good. And fortunately, since we're recording right now, it's a good thing that I'm inside, toasty warm, and getting sober at the same time, which is great.
Well, now that explains a lot. The fact that you were imbibing probably explains why you were having such difficulty totaling the numbers that we're going to be getting into shortly.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's been a revelation. Mr. Tracy, you have no snow there. Which you're probably happy about.
Yes, very much so.
But is it? Oh, it looks like you're wearing a sweatshirt. So
it
must
cold.
Be cold.
It is cold.
It's 72 degrees.
It was actually 72 degrees yesterday, but decided it was only going to go to 41 today.
Wow.
It's constant here. And the best part is the morning show that I listen to when I'm on my way to work. They are obsessed over it's going to rain for like 40 days and 40 nights now at this point. So Sunday, like Saturday, it's going to be 50 with a low of negative 75 or whatever they said. From what I heard on the radio today, from Sunday to God knows when, it's going to rain. So now I got to get my boots on.
Yeah.
Because my feet are going to be wet. Who knows with this wet? So it's been 70.
Oh my gosh.
It's been 15. It's been 40. We've had 20 mile an hour winds. We had 30 mile an hour winds. And now it's going to rain until August. So wish me luck.
Yeah,
sounds
exactly.
like you need to build an arc. So we should get right to the fun fact and over 40 rant so you can get started on that.
There you go.
And that is brought to us by Dubby Energy Drinks. Visit dubby.gg. Enter the promo code 2noobstalking. That's TOONOOBS talking. And you get 10% off your order. John, any word on whether they got those starter packs back
They're
in?
Still very still low on low? That. But all the flavors are they've got all their flavors. Whatever ones you want, the strawberry mango or whatever it was, and the one that Matt wanted to try that one time, it was the blueberry something or other. Yeah, they're all there. So check them out.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot, maybe.
All right, so Mr. Tracy, give us the fun fact because we're going to be depressed in about
five,
6 minutes.
I mean,
so make us laugh, sir.
Here. So you heard about the woolly mammoths coming back. African elephant they're trying, so we're gonna have woolly mammoths soon, so
I
was doing some research and I'm a little pissed that they picked the woolly mammoth over this. So there were bones found on Seymour Island a couple years ago that indicated that about 40 million years ago penguins were walking about 6 foot tall and they weighed about 250. So,
wow.
I asked the scientific community, you did the woolly mammoth. Can you give me giant penguins? Because that's what I want.
Please.
Can I have a pet giant penguin? That would be awesome.
That would be the greatest. Yeah, that would be the greatest.
I would feel much safer around a 6 foot penguin than a woolly
mammoth.
Yes,
me too.
I'll tell you that
me
much.
Too. So, scientists, get on it. I think we could domesticate these things pretty quickly and start selling them because a 6 foot tall penguin is just awesome.
Yeah.
They're a real penguin.
I got worried for a second. You're like, they should have brought these back. I'm like, oh, he's going to say saber tooth tigers or something, and we're all going to be eaten.
I would not harm
like that.
Humanity.
No, absolutely not. It's wild.
All right. Well, speaking of harming humanity, Matt's got an over 40 rant for us.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, this is more
humanity.
Of a
yes.
Fortunately, this isn't going to harm humanity, but this is more of a collective service for us, especially as Philadelphia fans. I was, again, perusing what was going on, and Jacob Sports, who does a pretty good job with post-game with Seth Joyner and a few other folks, Mark Farzetta, a guy named Bill, and some lunatic host who can't seem to get his mind right, Mikey Messinelli.
Yikes.
He's
still employed.
Decided to put out a post, gents, that said, according to Angelo Cataldi, he should fire, the current head coach and get somebody new. And it just hit me. The phrase, according to Angelo Cataldi, has done more harm to many Philadelphia sports fans over the last 30 some odd years that lunatic was on the air. So I am putting this out to our good fellow brothers and sisters of the Philadelphia sports fan community. Please, for the love of God, whenever you see, according to Angelo Cataldi, it is not the gospel. It is not good news. It is nothing but gaslighting. Get far away from this as humanly possible. I beg of you. For your own soul, for your own sanity, please run away from this man. He needs to go away. He retired. He needs to go away.
Yeah, seriously.
He needs to stop trying to get Buddy Ryan back into Philadelphia with a defensive coach. I don't want to hear anything out of Angelo anymore. I am done with him, period.
So this, according to Angelo Cataldi, that sounds like he had a source that says something's going to happen, but it sounded more like when you read the rest of it that this is what he wants.
He sourced an opinion. So Mike Mussinelli being the idiot that he is, sourced an opinion from his buddy.
That is the
media to a T right there. You source your opinion.
So Steve, I'm
writing an article for whothefuckcaressports.com. What is your opinion that I'm going to sell as the headline? What is your opinion on table tennis?
Table tennis.
So according to Steve Murray, table tennis. There you go. Headline. Can I get paid like Pistonelli money? Because I just did it.
Yeah, there you go.
Really.
Exactly. Oh my gosh!
Good Lord. Idiots.
Yeah.
Good Lord, you're right though. He's retired. Why does this man still
that,
keep?
That was the whole point of the
know.
Retirement.
He's like a cockroach.
I was happy for the retirement because I didn't have to hear him anymore. your career.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank God.
Go to Rhode Island. Where
on to the next thing.
Yeah. Go back to Rhode Island. Retire up there in your little posh estate and. Get the hell away from Philadelphia. For the love of God, please.
Dude, no joke, had the biggest hands I think I've ever seen on a person. Clown show, bro. Clown show.
Face for radio.
Clown show. Yeah.
Or face for, face for radio. Yeah. That's exactly what I meant by that.
And a face only a mother could love, that kind of a deal. So.
Precisely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, from that clown show to the shit show topic one.
Wow.
Which was the Philadelphia Eagles season.
Yikes.
If you've been living under a rock, the Eagles started out 10-1, then proceeded to lose, five of their last six regular season games?
Yeah.
To finish 11-6, second in the NFC least, and then flamed out last week on a Monday night. Why do we have Monday night playoff games, by the way? That's my exact point.
Yeah.
The one benefit, and we'll get to how much of the game you actually watched, but the one benefit was knowing what I know, I was planning to go to bed at halftime anyway. It's easy to do when it's a Monday night game, but still Monday night playoffs is dumb. Especially because you're cheating. The Tampa Bay now has to go to what?
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah.
They're going to Detroit and they have a day less of rest.
Yeah. Well, because the NFL doesn't care about Tampa Bay. They care about the two stories, San Francisco and Detroit. So they're not going to make it easy for anybody.
Yeah. So dumb.
All right. So the Eagles went down to Tampa Bay Monday night, flamed out. 32-9 was the final score. Frankly, wasn't close
ever.
So, gentlemen, to start dissecting the season, let me ask this first introductory question: at what point this year did you realize this was going to end poorly? I'll start with John first.
Although I had feelings earlier, that last second drive by Seattle, that throw. Made me realize that they didn't have anything that they had the year before. Like, because that was a dial-up. Like, they had five or six chances to stop them, but that last throw, that 22 team would have dialed something up, some kind of blitz, some kind of weird conception that would have pushed that wide receiver a little bit further, and that play wouldn't have happened. And when he caught that pass, I was just like,
right.
Okay, different. This is different. Different outcome. Okay, understand. This isn't going to... You can't win when you play like that. That
right
specific play.
Yeah.
That you just can't, like, that's coaching 100% right there, because that shouldn't have happened.
All right,
Matt. At what point did you know things were going to end poorly for this season 2023?
I would say the end of the San Francisco game. I think that was a shock. Because prior to that, it was like they were winning the games. They were doing very well, 10-1, but they weren't blowing out teams. They weren't, you know, there was maybe the occasional, like, they beat the Rams. They beat, trying to think who else they beat by 14 or so. The Dolphins, you know, they did very well against those teams, but the 49ers came in there very motivated over what happened in the NFC Championship game. And they just never responded. It was like they just got punched in the face. They got staggered. They fell down. And they tried to get back up. And they just could not. And then they followed that up by essentially demoting their defensive coordinator and going with another D guy who can't draw up a defense to save his life in Matt Patricia. I mean, it was pathetic. That was really the panic mode that everybody kind of thought, oh, wait a minute. Why are we changing D coordinators in the middle of the season after one loss? That, to me, was very puzzling and was really kind of the beginning of the end in that regard. So and they just never recovered. They just never got back up off the mat after that San Francisco game. And so, yeah, that's when I kind of figured. That just never had the chance to respond or didn't
right
respond.
I will confess, I have had concerns all year.
Okay.
But they came out of the gate against the Patriots. But at the beginning of the year, I was making excuses for everything. So
okay.
They played the Patriots. I said to my, and they were sloppy. And they should have blown him out. And I came away from that. I'm like, well, the starters didn't play in the preseason, which I think, as an aside, that's dumb. You can't do that.
Right.
You have to play starters for at least a quarter, at least a half, something.
Just speed of the game.
Yeah, I think Jalen only played like one quarter, maybe.
He didn't play at all.
Oh, he didn't play at all. Yeah.
I don't think any of the starters on offense, at least on offense, I don't think they played at all.
Barely.
In the preseason.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, Steve Young saying, this was more in the context of kind of when the Eagles were making all those NFC Championship games in the early 2000s. And the question was about, like, do you rest your starters towards the end of the year or do you play them? And Steve Young said something to the effect of, it takes you, for every week you take off, it takes you one quarter to get back. So if you take 2 weeks off, it takes you two quarters to get back.
I completely agree with that.
How about that?
And so...
Yeah.
So, but the first game, I'm like, oh, they didn't play preseason, so they're going to be sloppy. It's their preseason.
And then they were
sloppy. Then they go, and they were sloppy against the Vikings. And I'm like, well, it was a Thursday night game, so it was a short week after no preseason. Fine. And then they go, what was the third game? Washington?
I think it was Washington. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Let's see here. It was the Buccaneers.
Oh, Buccaneers.
Monday night.
So they played a little better. It was a Monday night game.
It was a Monday night game.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, they haven't had a normal week of preparation. They're still, you know, working things out. And then then the next week was Washington, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was an overtime
struggled
game.
They struggled a lot. It was an overtime. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's an NFC East game. They're always close no matter what, blah, blah, blah. So I kept making excuses. When I really thought things were going to turn bad was the beginning of the quote gauntlet. When they beat the Cowboys
at home.
But it took the Cowboys cowboying yep. themselves to make yep. it happen.
And that's about right. Yeah. Yeah.
See, last year, that Eagles team would, when the game was on the line, they would make a play.
Right.
And win the game.
Right.
The Dallas game, they didn't make a play. Dak stepped out of bounds on a 2-point conversion.
Right.
They took stupid penalties when they were gifted. I mean, the Eagles gifted them all the way to the 5-yard line on final drive.
Yeah.
And then they took stupid penalties. Dak took a sack and they threw short of the end zone. So that was the Cowboys making bad plays.
Yeah,
and then
for
next
sure.
week they go to Kansas City and they didn't make a play.
Valdez Scantling dropped the ball in the end zone.
Dropped the ball in the end zone. Okay. So the Chiefs, to me, lost that game.
Correct.
Then the Bills. The Bills game, wasn't that the one where Allen in overtime had the guy, but the guy turned to the corner of the end zone?
Yes, communication with Gabe Davis, yes.
If he would have come to the middle, he would have been a touchdown, game would have been over.
Right.
So, yes, the Eagles win that in overtime, but if Allen and Gabe Davis get on the same page there, they don't even have that opportunity.
You were dodging bullets.
They were dodging bullets
throughout the entire season. Yeah.
The warning signs were there. And then they go and they get curb stomped by San Francisco.
Never recovered at that point. Yeah.
Never recovered. Then they got stomped by Dallas. You looked for them to turn around against the Seahawks. It didn't happen. You know, I'm watching that. I'm like, okay, if they can just start to get their rhythm back. And what didn't happen. And then the Giants, they get up big on the Giants. I'm like, maybe this will give them some confidence.
And then the second half kickoff and they bump into each other. And it was just one thing after another. They allowed the Giants to come back into that ball game. And
the Cardinal game was an absolute disgrace.
That was a disgrace.
And the moment I knew for sure, 100%, that this was completely done was when they came out of the timeout and Julio Jones and who's the tight end? Stott?
Goddard. No, yeah, Jake Stott. No, Stott. Yep.
I want to say Bryson Stott, but that's not right.
No.
Neither one of them knew who was supposed to be on the field for the play.
Yeah, Jack
after
Stoll.
A timeout.
Jack
and I'm like,
Stoll.
Yeah.
Stoll. Jack Stoll. Yeah. Sorry.
Yep. No, that's okay. Yep.
Neither one of them knew who was supposed to be out there. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
When you can't, out of a timeout, you can't get the right personnel on the field. And the personnel, it's not their fault. It's the coach's fault. It's like, who's supposed to be out there? Tell them.
Yeah.
Very Doc Rivers-esque. Coming out of a timeout, throwing it out of bounds.
That's good.
Very glad good you comparison. Had time to discuss that.
Thank God Nick Nurse uses his timeouts better.
Seems to be doing
like
well.
I hear Stuart Scott. See, I feel like I hear Stuart Scott in the background. See, what had happened was, that guy was
there.
Yeah. That's what was going on there.
And it continued. So I don't know how long you guys watched the game. I turned it on to see the first Tampa Bay drive. You know, is the defense going to make a play?
They definitely did not.
Nope.
So same old, same old. And I was like, all right, well, let's see at least if the offense can score. And they go and do the same shit, third and two.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't three and out. They actually got a first down. They ran the ball twice, got a first down. Then they started throwing the ball again, and they got the third and two. Blitzed.
Then they tried
hot routes. It was all deep.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, they haven't fixed the problem on either side of the ball. I'm done. Yep. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Flyers are playing that night, so I turned them on.
I'd rather watch them anyway.
I think that's when I text you, hey, the Flyers are up 1-0.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the offense first. John,
Yikes.
happened?
What happened is their offensive coordinator happened. I don't know if you guys caught any indie games in Indianapolis Colts games at all, which is our former offensive coordinator from last year.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah,
Sykes,
he's the head coach. That offense looked lively this year. They did not
terrific.
Play, you know, great all the time, but they looked like they were making some waves there.
They definitely
they don't have the personnel.
They do not. They do not at all. But we don't have the coaching that that they have.
No.
No. He's vanilla as Jalen's personality. And that's not good for an offense. It really isn't.
No.
I didn't see anything. I saw four plays. If we were playing Madden, I saw four plays this year. I saw AJ go this way. I saw Devontae go this way. I saw a screen this way. And then I saw a fake screen and they gave it to Dallas Goedert. And that seems to be the only plays that they ran this year. Anything else they were covered on.
Yeah.
And it seemed what I saw all year, which works. I mean, Doug Peterson, not to say that offense couldn't work. Doug Peterson did a similar thing that Super Bowl. He ran maybe four or five plays to just disguise them well and ran them this way or that way. So I'm not saying that that's a problem. It's just that there was no invention off of anything but the stupid tush push. Like, that was the only invention they came up with, oh, I'll flick the ball over here, or this guy will throw it over here. But that was later in the season. Like, that's the shit you save for the playoffs. That's stuff you save down the line. You were doing that, like, week three. Because that was all you had.
Yeah.
And if that's your best play, why aren't you just throwing slant passes? One slant pass after another. 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, tush push. Three yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, tush push. Just do what Joe Montana did. It would have been fine. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They were so predictable. I mean, Christian McCaffrey picked out a play on the Manning cast out of the formation. He's like, oh, this is a quarterback sneak or draw or whatever. And lo and behold, I mean, I don't know. Matt, what was your take on the offense? I mean, I assume you agree that it was the
offensive coordinator needs to go. Honestly, I think John hit the nail on the head. No variety, no motion. Nothing down the middle of the field either. Seth Joyner made a great point on his podcast that everything was to the outside of the hash marks. Well, I mean, that's great and all if you have a young quarterback and you want to roll and maybe do one half of the field, right? You want to give as many
Mike
options
Vick
as you
offense.
Can.
Yeah, totally.
But if you're the Mike, exactly. But if you're trying to spread everybody out and all they're doing is running out routes to the sidelines and you leave the middle of the field wide open all the time, sooner or later, some defense is going to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. And it could be the Carolina Panthers defense, as bad as they were. They're going to pick up on it, and they're going to say, okay, well, we just need to push everybody out to the sideline. We don't have to worry about Dallas Goedert going down the middle. That was totally missing from the entire playbook, and I do not know why. Because Goedert is one of those guys, like, I think he's better than Zach Ertz. He's Zach Ertz 2.0. And Ertz was a hell of a tight end. He's one of the best tight ends in the team's history. You got a huge weapon there. A guy who's 6, I think 4 or 5. Make him have catches over the middle, and it's like you're just not utilizing him more often. I would love to see him get to the 800, 900 yards, but not in this offense and not with this coordinator. He's, and I've heard rumors, he's been interviewing here and there. It's like,
get out of here.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. I mean, honestly.
The ultimate indictment of the coaching, I think, came in this Tampa game.
Yes.
When on the 3rd-and-2 play I was mentioning, Troy Aikman broke it down.
Yeah, you texted us in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah. He's watching Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert run basically the same route.
Yeah.
And ending up within 5 yards of each other. He's that's a poor play design.
And then the other side was the exact same route.
Right.
And if you're Jalen, where do you throw the ball?
No, I was telling, right? I mean, exactly. You guys in pre-production, someone was on X was literally saying that Jalen Hurts is a shitty quarterback. And they use that scene and people were roasting him because what do you want him to do? Like throw the ball straight up in the air? Like, what is he going to do? Teleport? Like, what the hell is he going to do with that? Right. He's got max protection.
You know what you do?
Max protection. So he can't run because max protection is everybody guarding him. So where's he going to run to? And where the hell is he going to throw to? Because everybody's head's down and they're turning this way. Like,
yep.
Johnny, you do what you do when you were five when you had the football. You throw it up just disappear. Yourself and you catch the ball.
What he expected him to do is he would just teleport and get away from the max protect line because, you know, 5 300-pound men in front of him. Oh, he's just going to slide between those guys as they're backing up towards him.
And their inability to adjust to the blitz is mind-boggling. Brian Baldinger was pointing out, like, he would say, Jalen calls out the blitz, and then they run the play, and Jalen's got to get rid of the ball, and no receiver is looking back.
Nope. And amazing.
They're all looking upfield because they're running routes that are not designed to cut off the blitz.
And I don't know if the Eagles have figured this out, so I'll give you a little thing. Just because when DeAndre Swift's out there, they blitz more is because they have other backs that can pick up the blitz, and they won't blitz you when they're out there. And they've tricked you into that. Well, Gainwell's in. We're not blitzing. We're just going to play man coverage. And then Jalen gets all, oh, completion. And then you put Swift back in the game, and then they load seven in the box, and they knock that little dude right over. And you can't figure it out. You probably should have figured that out like week three.
Yeah,
exactly. No. Well, so as bad as the offense has performed, the defense, I would say, was probably worse.
Agreed.
Matt, I'll go to you first on this. What do you attribute the defense's struggles this season?
Well, I would just say this in terms of grades that get an I for incomplete. It's probably the worst I've ever seen of an Eagles defense outside of maybe 1 week when Andy was pretty much like he knew he was out the door.
But
this was the entire year. Yeah. But this is the thing. There was zero aggressiveness, very unlike a Philadelphia Eagles defense. The pass rush that was so dominant last year, nowhere to be found. When you have Matt Patricia have Hassan Reddick dropping coverage.
That was Desai too.
That should
Desai
tell you,
did the same stuff. I think they outsmarted themselves.
Johnny, I don't understand. He is supposed to rush the pass. He's
really good at it.
That's what he's good at. That's what he was great at Temple University.
He's really good at it.
He was known for that. And yet here they ask him to drop into coverage. Don't get it. We're not running a 3-4. He needs to be on the line rushing the quarterback. That's what you're supposed to. I feel like I'm Bill Cowher. Rush the quarterback. He's telling Trey Boyd, rush the quarterback.
That's all you're supposed to do. Right? That's your job.
That's all you're supposed to do. Rush the quarterback. You know, that kind of deal. But yeah, Patricia, I would want to just never see again. I think this is ruined, rightly so. I think it's ruined his career as a defensive play caller. If he wants to join Bill Belichick in Atlanta, when he signs that deal down there in Atlanta, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
I don't even know why you would.
You're
sign
one
him.
Of the worst I've ever seen. I want the aggressiveness back. I want the good mix. What made Jim Johnson so great was there was a mix between rush and not rush, you know, as to whether or not he was coming with the blitz and not. He disguised it so well. That's the kind of defense I want to see come back. Guys, though, Jim Johnson was here 2007, 2008. It's been a long time since we've seen an aggressive defense in that regard. So we need that back, really.
All right, so Matt's placing the blame mainly on the coaching for defense. 100%. John, do you agree with that?
No, I'm placing it on part of Desai. I don't think Desai had a good enough game plan, but I also place it on Howie. A lot of the guys that, like, he doubled up in the draft. You could have probably drafted a middle linebacker to replace N'Kobe Dean, who didn't look like he was going to be your middle linebacker. But instead, you got Nolan Smith, who directly plays behind Hassan Reddick, so you can't even get his talent on the field. Linebackers were very suspect. Blankenship looked good this year, but you didn't have another safety, so you had to go trade for another one, and that... You know, the cohesive unit of training camp to championship teams win in training camp because you have this unit and it gets together and it molds and it grows. I think we were piecemealing this defense together. I don't think Howie did a good job. I don't think the side did a good job. I'm not a fan of the side. I was a huge fan of the side coming in. That's Seattle defense. But if you think about it, we don't have the same people that they have. They look at defense a little different than us from what he, you know, collected. So I think the blame goes all over. I also think BG and Fletcher got a year older, and the two young boys got not a year older at the same time, which I think they were hoping for. They were hoping for Jordan Davis to be a little bit better and hoping Carter. I mean, Carter was great this year, but he fell off after the long season.
I think fatigue is a huge thing.
Yeah,
on this defense.
I think so.
Yeah.
Their inability to be able to get off the field on third downs.
Do we even want
them in the long run? Because I think they got tired.
Do you think we even want to go after James Bradbury? I mean, oh my goodness, guys.
He's really good. He's really good when Darius Slay's on the field. And you know what? That is kind of why you have.
He can't.
But that's why you have a number one corner. So you don't have to. So you're not worried about your number two corner. You have a number one corner for a reason. But when Bradbury plays against number ones, he's not a number one. So. It's why you pay Darius Slay money. That's Bradbury is.
Yeah, but Darius Slay missed four games.
I think four or five.
Bradbury was bad.
He's he's not. Yeah,
he fell off a cliff.
He's not
this
the best. Yeah. I would rather see some of those young guys and a better defensive coordinator. I feel will get some of these young guys more. I want to see these guys that played in the national championship game or played. You know, in meaningful college games, that's what the NFL's all about. You get these guys, you get them a year in, and you get them playing. Look at Sidney, whatever the hell his name is, Jones, the one that got hurt at the end of the year. He's a stud.
Yeah.
You need to get him on the field more. And they refused to put him on the field earlier in the season. Like, you put him in later, and it's like, oh, look, this guy can play. Oh, magical. He was playing at that level in college. Like, just get him on the field. It makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So from the discussion we've just had, coordinators, we want to see them all jettisoned in one way or another.
Yeah.
But the question, I guess, remains, what about the head coach who's in charge of this all? Should he survive? As of our recording Friday night, no decision has been made as far as we know about whether he will be retained or not. Do you feel he should be retained, or has he worn out his welcome with this disaster of a season?
It's a hard call to make. I would say he's got one more year. I want to give him benefit of the doubt. I think he has been served his humble pie, though, which is good, because I think his braggadocious behavior, let's face it, guys, it kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And he needs that. And he needs veteran, I kind of agree with Seth, and the fact that he needs veteran coordinators to kind of set him straight a little bit. I think he was a little braggadocious in his own offense. He thought he could turn it over to Johnson, and Johnson just said, okay, go deep, when there was a blitz on. And that doesn't work in the NFL.
That was my early Tecmo strategy. Go deep every play. You know what I mean?
Go all the way back to the 10 and chuck it.
As long as I'm running backwards, I have a chance to throw it. Because, you know, all quarterbacks throw 80 yards every time they throw the ball. People in their face.
I always say that it's Tecmo, because it's like you feel like you're deep enough, and then it's like your quarterback's on the 30, and it's like it's got another 20 yards, and wait a minute. Right. Oh, my gosh, that was brutal. No, I'm only saying this because I don't like Angelo Cataldi. He wants to fire everybody and wants Mike Vrabel in because he thinks he's Buddy Ryan. He wants to recapture the 80s. Buddy didn't exactly win in this city. Newsflash, Angelo Cataldi.
We don't have a championship from Buddy.
No, we do not.
We don't have a playoff win from Buddy.
We don't have a playoff win from
Buddy. We do have a great punch in the face, but Angelo, it wasn't even on our team.
Yeah. So, Angelo, go to Hoor Island. Shut up. Anyway. I think he should stay. Honestly, I think Sirianni should stay. He deserves a course correction. He's got to get us back at least to the divisional round, if not better, for next year. I think he already got a second place schedule. So I think it's going to be, I think we're going to be okay. But it's a matter of just, you got to take it one game at a time. Keep preaching. Everybody likes him. Seems like within the roster. You got to get Jalen back on track. He took a step back this year. He really did. He did not progress as much as we would have liked.
But I don't think that helped him.
No.
Correct. But to that point, he deserves to course correct what he screwed up. And so I'm all in favor of saying, okay, you got a second chance. You do what you need to do to get this done. But if you don't, you're out of here. I don't care. If you win 10 games, good for you. I want a Super Bowl. Get out. Yeah, at that point. Yeah,
I think I.
Yes or no?
Oh, he absolutely should. He at least should get one. I would even say 2 years to correct this. This is kind of the first we've seen shakiness in his coaching staff. We did not see this before, so this is maybe he just picked wrong, and I'm okay with that. So 1 or 2 years, I'm okay with. If he doesn't have this thing. If he doesn't have this thing in the right direction, I'm not saying Super Bowl, but if he doesn't have this pointing to, hey, this young team is really building to the chip, he goes in 2 years. But I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on him at this point. He's shown me too much as a leader.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to get one more year. Get some new, fresh coordinators in here and see if we can fix it. I mean, if it doesn't look like it's getting turned around,
absolutely,
we reevaluate next season. But I do think if we can, because first two years, things went well.
Walk of the town,
absolutely. So it was the what's the big difference? Well, there were two big differences. Offensively, the only difference was the coordinator. It was the same offense.
Yeah.
It was the same offense. To the person.
The one change was DeAndre Swift for Miles Sanders, and that's a wash.
Yep.
Right? So, whatever. That was there was no personnel. There was no real personnel change on offense. Defensively, you had a new coordinator, and you got rid of a bunch of guys that maybe you shouldn't.
There's some players out there that are making plays.
Thing we should probably mention before we get out of here, Howie Roseman has got to draft linebackers and secondary guys, and they've got to keep them here for a while. I think he has neglected the linebacker position for
many years,
and it has finally caught up. Yeah, his entire career. What he's done with the linebacking core is essentially gone after one-year deals. Yeah. Sign them, get them done. And the fact that I was reading somewhere that T.J. Edwards was drafted by us, he was here, and then they just let him go.
They don't want to pay money to that position. Mm-hmm. That was the Joe Banner thought process. They don't pay linebackers.
Oh well, so that's fine. You should pick
better.
But the way you deal with that is you pick good ones
over and over again for five years.
That you have good contract control, and then you turn it over to the next one.
Spot one.
You don't just
recycle. No, I totally agree. I thought Morrow was great until the injury. That could have been something, but you're also, when you have this concept of I'm going to just get a guy 4 years and I'm going to retool, sometimes you're going to get a guy like Morrow who is awesome, but he's hurt 3/4 of the time. It's the same thing with N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean is a player. He is an absolute player. He just only plays 6 games a year. So you have to make up for that.
I likened previously Howie's fascination with the D-line and the O-line, which I have no problem with that
I'm
philosophy.
Totally okay with that. Yeah.
That's you should build it from there out. That's fine. But like you said, he doubled up on the D-line in the draft and completely neglected linebackers, safety, secondary.
And that's got to change.
It reminded me of Ruben Amaro in 2011.
Yeah.
Where you
load
sank,
up on the pitcher. Okay,
pitching wins championships. I agree with you. However, your pitchers don't throw shutouts every game. You need to, and anyway, even if they did, you still need to score one run to win.
Exactly.
So you better have some offense.
Yeah.
And I think that's a similar concept we're seeing here.
Right on.
So, all right. Now, before we close this out, we have to go to our predictions that we made at episode 153. Check it out.
Oh, up above your head.
Upper right corner.
That's put your card somewhere.
Yep. Upper right corner.
So episode 153, we predicted game by game how the Eagles would do in the regular season. Matt, read off
look at him being boastful and
swole. Well, I would say that in third place was the illustrative John Tracy with 7 correct. The magnificent
sub-500.
I don't want to hear it.
I was as good as the Eagles defense, bro.
I had 10 right, and some loser had 11. So I don't know who that was, but I'm going to give it to Steve Murray.
Look at them all swollen over there.
No, I'm not going to king you at all. No.
There's some luck involved there because I did accurately predict that they would lose to the Jets. But it was because I assumed Aaron Rodgers was going to play more than like 3 plays all season.
Where I just went on a hunch, you know, that kind of it. I was just like, you know what they're due? And it turns out it was right. And I was like, oh, great.
And
okay.
To my defense, if they wouldn't have shit the bed, I'd have had the most.
Very
That's
true.
If they had not crapped the bed those last 4 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, I actually would have had a way higher total because I predicted them to beat bad teams,
which they did not do.
Yeah,
that is the
we didn't foresee that.
End this wonderful Eagles thing. That's exactly what I think we should end it on. They beat teams that they had no business beating, and they lost to teams they had no business losing to, and hopefully they can figure out that that's not what you're supposed to do in the NFL. And maybe they will finish first in the division next year. Because if you just look at them,
there you go,
they blow everybody out and they're the first seed and everybody's going to come through fifth.
Well, it's funny you talk about the seeding because that's the one joy we can take out of this. The fall caused the Cowboys to finish in first place. So not only did they get thwacked by the Green Bay Thwackers in the wild card round when they had Super Bowl hopes, but next year they have to play a first place schedule.
Nice.
It's a beautiful thing. But to get back to the Eagles, Joey Swole says, Eagles, you gotta do better. Newsflash for this country.
Oh,
Dallas Cowboys lost.
Yes. Only
that's
in
good
country.
To know. Yeah, that's good to know.
Good to know.
By 16, too. It was great. It's wonderful.
Well, by 16, but it wasn't even that close.
No, it wasn't even that close.
They should have lost by 42.
Yeah. Dak was stat padding.
I remember after we were recording episode 172, which you can also check out in our upper right corner. I'll throw it
right
out
there.
Card.
Right there. Right there.
When we finished the card or when we finished the recording, we checked the scores, gentlemen. Remember that?
Yes.
And we were going, what is happening in Dallas?
We were laughing.
We were laughing.
Knowing, by the way, just don't get mad, Dallas Cowboys fans. We also were knowing that they were going to lose to Tampa Bay. The Eagles were going to lose to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
We weren't laughing because our team's better. We were just laughing because misery loves company.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mentioned to you guys, too, it was better for them to have lost in Tampa than to win that game and to go into Detroit and get destroyed in there. Because I'm pretty sure the Lions would have handled this pretty well.
They kept playing the way they played all year. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
all right.
This is a good thing.
But
sort of.
So, we move on to topic 2. CBS eyeball news. Actually, CBS is eyeball news.
Yeah, it is eyeball
news. Yeah, in Chicago. What the hell? Oh.
CBS Nasal Passage News.
Love it.
Apparently, gentlemen, EVs, or electric vehicles,
uh-oh,
have some problems. other than ones we previously discussed.
Really?
Shocking.
So, last week, some Tesla owners in Chicago discovered their EV's batteries had died in sub-zero temperatures.
Oh.
Drivers also said some of Tesla charging stations weren't working, or if they did work, the stations were taking longer than usual to charge up their vehicles.
Oh.
One Tesla driver said, "I've been here for over 5 hours at this point, and I still have not gotten to charge my car. A charge that should take 45 minutes is taking 2 hours.
Oh,
because it was first.
By the way, this is an issue that Consumer Reports, I am a subscriber,
there you go,
investigated last year due to concerns about significant variations in how different electric cars held up in cold weather.
How about that?
EVs, apparently with 200 to 215 mile ranges, may only go 150 to 175 in the cold. And they also take longer to charge when it's cold. That's partly because most EVs are designed to boost their battery temperatures when the thermometer drops. So, John, when are you going to buy that big truck?
Yeah, that's not happening.
You were talking about last week. That looks so nice.
That's not happening. It just looks nice. I'll just give you a quick news flash. So it's 70 to 80 to 90 degrees most of the time where I live. I live in the desert. It's hot all the time. We have 2 weeks of cold. So at 17 degrees, when I went outside to my wonderfully gas-powered truck and I turned the key, it just hummed and purred and was like, "Where do you want to go? Because we can go. Go anytime you're ready."
That's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Now, I do know this, like Chicago has suffered under the Arctic blast, as we have, Steve, as you know, up in Pennsylvania.
Worse than we have.
Worse than we have. I have a colleague of mine I work with who lives in the Chicago area, and she says it's just been absolutely brutal to be outside. It's just you don't even go outside. Highs are -3. That's how cold it's been.
It's pretty bad. No thanks.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me, too.
Yeah.
But that being said, oh my, with these electric vehicles that everybody should get by the, by 2035. Oh, we have to all go electric vehicles. And it's like, really? Yeah. I don't think so. If they can't start, and it's like, I feel for those people. Guys, can you imagine? Like, you're trying to sit there, you're trying to get your car charged up in sub-freezing temperatures, and you can't go anywhere. You have to wait. Already long, what was it, 2 hours for like a
5 hours?
Longer than
He had been there for 5 hours.
45 minute charge.
Yeah, 45 minute charge was taking 2 hours.
Hard pass. But I'm sorry.
But it's everything runs slower when it's cold. Even gas pumps run slower when it's cold because it's cold. I'm sure there's a manufacturer running temperature that is for prime use it at 85 degrees or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Those chargers are running off of diesel generators, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them are running off of diesel generators. The generators have trouble running. Yeah, I've seen that in the issues in the snow before. Is the generators they run, but they're not running at full capacity that they'd be running if you fired them up in, 50 degree weather where there was no chill or anything. Like everything's running, it's all mechanics. So everything's gonna run. I used to work in the bowling industry. You know what you didn't do? You didn't turn machines on when it was 0 degrees outside because the heat wasn't on all night. You would put the heat on and you would wait. You'd have to get there early, put the heat on, let all the little gadgets warm up, and let the grease do what the grease is supposed to do. Then you would turn them on. Like, that's common sense. Something. The federal government does not understand common sense. That's common sense.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good that you mentioned that, Johnny. I think that's really important to kind of understand. It takes a little bit of time. And, I've often heard it said, and I kind of agree with this, that it takes a whole heck of a lot more energy to warm something up as it is to cool something down. I think sometimes it's the reverse opposite of that. We tend to think that, oh my gosh, we're spending so much energy trying to cool ourselves off when it's really just the inverse opposite of that when it's in the winter months, because it's like you don't have any other way to generate heat. And heat is, of course, caused by a lot of friction, a lot of movement, obviously, right, in terms of the science. So you need a little bit of power in order to get that done somehow, some way.
That's why gasoline takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, according to this article, some folks in Norway may be laughing at us because apparently they know better how to work their EVs.
Really?
Of course they do. They're in fucking Norway.
They've learned tricks such as warming up the car's cabin while still hooked up to the grid.
Smart play.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
EVs are quite able to cope with winter if you know what you're doing. A gentleman whose name I will not pronounce from Norway.
Thank you.
Electric Vehicle Association.
Let's call him Bill. Bill from Norway. We got him. Bill from Norway.
The challenge is teaching newbies how to do this. Well, I say you want to move us to electric vehicles. Figure all this shit out first.
Please.
I should not be subjected to a 2-hour charge time, taking 2 hours out of my day just to charge my vehicle so I can continue on my journey.
Spot on.
Figure that out first.
Yeah.
Okay. Figure out the mileage. Figure out how we're not going to melt a hole in the earth when we dispose of these lithium batteries.
Yeah, exactly.
We're halfway there, dude.
Get all that shit worked out. Yeah, right.
Halfway there.
And just to remind everyone, even in optimal weather, some electric vehicles have fallen as short as 50 miles of their advertised driving ranges, according to Consumer Reports. And another study by the Advocacy and Product Testing Organization found that EVs have nearly 80% more mechanical problems and are generally less reliable than gas-powered cars.
Wow. And all of this is being pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed into the marketplace without, as Steve rightly points out, figuring it all out, right?
Yeah.
It's just being pushed because we have to save the environment from all kinds of natural and horrible pollutants.
But it's not being pushed by, consumer.
Correct.
Demand. Yeah.
Demand
yeah.
at all. It's not like, I don't meet people every day like, God, I can't wait till I get my, you know, my Tesla. Like, you don't meet these people. Like, most people that are buying the Teslas or any of the vehicles are doing it because of what they see in the media.
Right.
And they want to make a difference. And that's fine. Like, if you're only going 30 miles to your job, and that's all the driving you do. You go 30 miles back, forth. You can have a Tesla, and you're not going to run into many issues. The problem I see with this design failure that the government is trying to do, they're trying to push everybody so fast into something. Like the Bill from Norway, newbies. The entire country are newbies.
Yes.
We don't know anything about this. Yeah, we're not. Yeah. We don't know anything about this. And what the federal government is doing is they're putting their foot on people that don't need this or don't want this.
Correct.
And you're seeing that. Thank God these reports are coming out. Like, you're seeing the failures of that. We're not ready for this. We're 10, 15 years away from this. Should there be charging stations? Absolutely. Should there be electric cars? Absolutely. But we need to be at a 5 to 10% rate now so we can get to a 20% in 5 to 10 years, so we can get to a 30%. And then we can get to 40%.
Building and building.
We could replace gasoline if we needed to.
Sure.
I don't think we need to, but that would screw me with a job. We don't need to replace gasoline. But could we get to a 50-50? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not tomorrow. And it's not 2035 at all.
No. Agree.
And this is, we had that article a few weeks ago or a few months ago, where companies like Tesla and other EVs were lying about their mileage. This is just another kick in the pants for the EVs, where not only were they lying about the mileage, now you don't even get the real mileage when it gets super cold, like it is now in winter. So this is just decreasing. And I've seen articles that say demand from customers is
plummeting.
Yeah. On EVs, because they're seeing all these issues and they're just like, I can't deal with this.
Why would you want to?
This is not going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Joe Biden solution is here, stick one of these up your ass and,
that would be kind of painful. No, I'm going to pass on that. Yeah, Steve, just saying.
For you, it'd be a diesel, but
yes. Now do seems what as, I say, yeah. Not as I do. Right. Damn
oh
it.
My. Right.
Now seems as good a time as any to plug the website, now that we're talking about shoving D cells on people's asses.
That is not on any of the links, so stop clicking. I'm tired of it.
No, Two Noobs does not have an OnlyFans website. What are you talking about?
No.
But we don't. Here's your OnlyFans.
Yeah, right. Two Noobs Talking. It's TOONOOBS talking.wordpress.com. Go there. You can find our old episodes all the way back to episode 140. And before that, you can get a link to our YouTube site where you can get all the old episodes for free on YouTube. You just have to watch some ads.
Heck
probably.
Yeah.
You can also go there to find out where you can get us on your audio podcast listening. Plenty of different options are there available for you. But if you like to listen to some weird audio podcasting service, our RSS feed is there. You can use that. Put it in your podcatcher. We'll be on your weirdo battery shoving up ass podcasting service.
And we'll be happy to be there.
I was just going to say one other thing we should probably do, too, is say, hey, like, share, subscribe to our channel.
Yeah.
And give us a 5-star review while you're at it, too.
Sure.
Since we put in a lot of, heck of a lot of work.
I mean, give us a 1-star review. Say.
That's all.
Yeah.
Please do what we
say. Just interact.
Yeah, interact.
Negatively positive.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just
exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. Topic 3. So moving on. We have NBC Ear Canal News.
Left or right? I need to know.
The left one's blocked up, so the right.
Cool.
Feds, here we go again. Federal government doing shit they shouldn't be doing. The U.S. Federal Highway Administration.
Good at it.
Yeah, U.S. Federal Highway Administration, or USFA, has given states 2 years to implement all the changes outlined in its new 1,100-page manual released last month,
Lord.
Including rules that spell out how signs and other traffic control devices are regulated. Okay, so far, no big deal. Administration officials said overhead electronic signs with obscure meanings, references to pop culture, or those intended to be funny shall be banned in 2026 because they can be misunderstood or distracting to drivers.
How dare they? How
is this booty,
dare they?
Is this booty juice? Is this whatever Biden called him? Is this the transportation guy? Because he's no fun. He's
it's
no
amazing
fun,
that it was 2026. That's 250 years from the Declaration of Independence being signed in this country, and we have the administrative state telling us, "Thou shalt not put any humor signs on our nation's highways."
Isn't that why we wrote all those documents back then? So people didn't do things like this.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Time for another revolt. Exactly. Who's with me?
Well, I'm against the Secretary of Transportation. Oh, I'm all in. Let's go. Let's fight.
To USFA, signs should be, quote, simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear, and only be used for important information, such as warning drivers of crashes ahead, adverse weather conditions, and traffic delays. Seatbelt reminders and warnings about the dangers of speeding or driving impaired are also allowed. Well, here are some examples of signs which will no longer be permissible under USFA's dictatorship reign.
I can't wait.
Ohio, visiting in-laws, slow down, get there late. That's a good one.
That's
like
a great
that.
Sign.
That's a great sign. I love that.
Absolutely.
That is simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear, frankly.
All those things. Yeah. Yes. Yep. 100%.
And then this one from Arizona. Hands on the wheel, not your meal. What's wrong with that?
How great is that? Nothing's wrong with
simple,
that.
Direct,
that's perfect.
Legible, brief.
Yeah. But it's humorful, and that shall be banned.
We can't have that. We can't have that. The highway signs.
Nope. Can't have that.
And speaking of Arizona, they have more than 300 electronic signs above its highways. And for the last 7 years, the State Department of Transportation has held a contest to find the funniest and most creative messages. There were more than 3,700 entries last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Now we're ending all that fun. State Representative David Cook said, "Why are you trying to have the federal government come in and tell us what we can do in our own state? Prime example that the federal government is not focusing on what they need to be."
I love it. States' rights versus the administrative state. I love that. Yeah. And states' rights wins, by the way, just so you know, in that regard. Yeah. But yeah, this is fascinating, gentlemen. I don't know. I really hope this gets overturned. Whoever gets into office, I really hope it's not, you know who, but exactly. Just need a third party in there. I don't know.
Illinois Smith.
2024.
That's right. 2024.
Rock and roll in there. But, some of those signs though, the Ohio sign is a perfect example. Visiting the in-laws, slow down. You know, that's what makes America. Yeah, I was just going to say, that's what makes America great.
Bite your tongue.
It does.
Wait a minute. Hold
it
on.
It totally
stop,
does,
man.
Though. But it, but it totally does. That's what it's a little humor to a long drive will
absolutely
keep you more alert, will keep you better prepared for what is going on. This is totally the no fun police. And this is, I drive a ton.
Yeah, Johnny.
Sometimes it's awesome when you're 13 hours into a drive and you want to jump out your own vehicle and land on the pavement, then go even further. You see stuff like that. I'm not saying all of them are great. So, trust me, Texas is really bad at humor with their signs. So
yeah,
I'm fine with them being banned here. We can just get to, like, there's a wreck over there because we know there's a wreck over there because there's a wreck over there every time I get on this highway. It is a wreck right there, and I don't understand why you guys keep wrecking over there. That would be better if I saw that, because that's annoying.
If they had a more humorous sign, that would prevent more wrecks, I would think.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I would hope so, because apparently with their dull-ass stuff, there's a wreck over there, and it keeps happening, and I don't understand it.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I get this guy's point, though, in not just the no fun police, that's bad enough in and of itself, but like the Department of Transportation or the U.S. Federal Highway Administration, their biggest concern at the moment is humorous highway signs.
1,100 page report, by the way. Yeah. 1,100 pages. Yeah. Two full reams of paper. And 100 pages additional. That's crazy.
Just look who's in charge. Look who's in charge and figure out why things like this happen. When someone's asleep at the wheel at the top, people are going to do whatever they want to do. And this is how I can log my 1,100 hours on the transportation thing. And I'll just do this. And nobody will notice.
Yeah, except here at Tunis, where we know
the federal government 100% right there. Stupid programs for no reason. Okay. That is the federal government 100%.
But that's my point, right? Is I'm sure that there are bigger problems on highways than dealing with humorous signs, which two of the ones we read fit the bill of what they said a sign should be. Simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear.
It would be great
because they're also funny. That's a problem.
Yeah. It would be great if the federal government were to try and do a study on how to improve the on ramps and off ramps of our nation's highways, rather than worry about an 1,100 page report striking away humor signs on the highway.
How about we figure out why I-95 is going to be under construction from here until the sun expands into a big red giant and engulfs the earth? Let's figure out
plus four days. Yeah. Plus 4.5 days because of delay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's figure out why that's going on. Yeah, we're not allowed to have funny highway signs. Okay. You got the right priorities. All right, topic four, and we'll continue to pile on the Biden train because we're just deflecting our pent-up Eagles anger and rage.
Yeah.
And what better target than Biden policies?
Yeah.
Perfect. So,
yeah. And he's dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry. So, I mean.
Well.
gosh.
don't think I have a political agenda there, but.
Just saying. I voted for Illinois Smith. I already have wrote in my whole thing. So there you go.
Good.
There you go.
All right. That's one. That starts. That's one. That's how it starts.
There you go.
That's how we start the
I Illinois got you. That's Smith how I'm going to get paid.
All right.
I have to vote for you. That's how I'm going to get paid for the next couple years.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. 2 years. Two votes. All right. We just need about 85 million more.
Yeah, there you go. We'll keep at it.
Probably like low 70s if we're not cheap. We could probably get in there and low 70s.
Stuff in ballots? What the hell? You know, that kind of
stuff
deal.
In a ballot box, are we? What's
Why
on?
Not? Why not? We can get away with that. No, okay.
Anyway. Right, where would we go? Oh, yeah. Topic four. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, we were just farting around in pre-production. I brought up how when I was in college.
Temple U. T for Temple U. In this country. Yeah. That's right.
I used to be able to go at lunchtime to the McDonald's on Broad Street.
Love it.
It was on Broad Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Broad
Street. It was on Broad Street.
John and Cecil B. Moore.
If you went to the one that, we think you went to.
That's just
I could get, back in those days, 20 years ago,
oh, good Lord Almighty.
I get a hamburger.
A few. Yeah.
Almost. A small French fry.
There you go.
And a small drink. $2.97.
Wow. $3. Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$3.
Yeah.
That's how you save money.
Yeah.
I think a medium French fry costs more than $3 now at this point.
I would agree.
So we all started complaining about what things used to cost.
Yes.
And what they cost
back
now.
In my day, this was really, this was too, too inexpensive.
I used to, there's another thing. I used to also be able to get two soft pretzels and a bottle of like orange juice, $2.
Do you remember the Chicken Caesar? There was a great salad spot. I think I used to frequent a lot down there at Temple, just outside of Minton Hall. And they had like this beautiful chicken Caesar salad. I would always get that for dinner. Just walk right up to the truck.
What'd you pay for it?
Gosh, I think it was like $5 back in the day.
With
it was
chicken?
Really good. Yeah. Chicken Caesar salad. Yeah.
Good luck finding one of those for less than $10 now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so what are some things you guys remember paying very little for?
Oh, gosh.
Back in the day.
Johnny, got an idea there? Or
I remember when I used to work in the city, there was a deli, and I would eat lunch every day. I would get a Reuben every day, like the same Reuben every time. It would be a Reuben. It would be $5 even. And then a couple years later, it went up to $6, and I was okay with that. Because the Reuben was that damn good.
Yeah.
But for a good 4 or 5 years, I ate the same thing every day for lunch. And that's not what happens now. today I got two tiny brisket tacos from Quick Trip. And it cost me $9 for two tiny tacos. This lunch isn't the same anymore. That's why I take my lunch or make my lunch and take it to work every day. Because these prices are insane.
Yeah.
It's Matt, become. But what's something you can recall paying little for back in the day?
Good question. I think probably what I just mentioned, Steve, to be honest.
$5
salad. Yeah. I mean, and it was a good, like a hearty chicken Caesar salad. Best dressing. Wasn't too tangy. Wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get like a ton of water. wasn't any of that. It was mixed in perfectly. I miss that truck, man. It's like, I want to go back to that truck and just order it right now. You know, it's like just thinking about it. It's just awesome.
Paying $5.
That's yeah. Now it's $11.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Minimum. Yeah. And I think that's what we were all kind of just thinking now. It seems to be, you know, even thinking about what it was like, you know, in Wawa just the other day, Jen. So I had like they brought back the ciabatta sandwich, which I love. A ciabatta sandwich. Fantastic. Thankful that Wawa has brought it back after, I think it was over a dozen years ago that they took it originally off the market. Now they're bringing it back. And it's like, if you add in a couple of different things, you usually get a ham with cheese, lettuce, and apple, and the applewood smoked bacon, which isn't really smoked.
That's $15.
That'll cost you.
That'll cost me, all right. That's $15. It's $12. It's ridiculous. Oh. It's like, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
Minimum $10, if that. But yeah, it's like
everything's a minimum extra. $10.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and John and I can commiserate, you know, with families going out to eat.
Heck yeah.
You know, my family of four, it's hard to get anything from a restaurant that costs less than you're getting out of there for nothing less than $40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be even more. It depends on.
Yeah.
Even if you do. And the thing I don't even understand, anybody that does like the DoorDashes or the delivery stuff, you're not getting a meal for less than $70 at this point, because the food prices have went up. There was a sandwich me and my wife used to get down. There's a draft bar right down the street. It's a chain in Texas. We used to get this sandwich that was, I think it was like $13 when we moved here. It was a prime rib kind of play on a French dip. So it was a prime rib French dip kind of thing. And we used to get it all the time when we first moved here. We would stop for lunch. It would be $13. We were just looking randomly. We were going to order out a couple weeks ago. And we went on the website. It's $19.25.
Wow.
Prime rib went up. Like,
yeah,
and I'm finding it everywhere. It's ridiculous. Like, everything seems expensive at this point.
Yeah,
I don't even think Zataran rice is what it was 2 years ago. Like, just getting like red beans and rice or yellow rice from Zataran's, it used to be like $1.50. It's now like $2.75. Like, why did that go up? It's rice.
Yeah,
you're not making it any different.
I had an interesting conversation with a good buddy of mine tonight, and he's in finance. He works at a local finance company. Whenever we were talking about inflation, and he was like, "Well, the one thing you don't want to have to happen is deflation. You don't want costs going down, and essentially it sags the economy down." I said, "So what is going on with the economy? Is like, are we pumping the brakes? Like, what's happening? Like?" With inflation. And he was kind of like, well, you know, it's actually better than what it was. And it's like, I'm thinking about it more and more after what he said, and I'm thinking, okay, it's not what it once was back in 2021, early part of 2022.
Agreed.
But it hasn't exactly slowed down either. You know, you're still getting high prices no matter where you're going. And so the idea here is trying to figure out ways to cut costs, right? Yeah, that's really right. The biggest thing that I think all three of us kind of pride ourselves in. It's like, we just try and figure out what can we do to try and maybe impart our knowledge to those that are really struggling with costs and things like that in this kind of economy. Yeah. And I mean, why don't we just turn the corner there, Jensen, and just talk about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is getting better. And that's the whole point of, I think American people, just to finish off this point, I think the American people are just tired of it. It might be changing a corner, but that doesn't matter to the average person. It just doesn't matter that it's turning a corner and it's getting better. I understand, like, you can see it. You can see it making a difference. And you know what? It will be for the better.
Yeah.
Realistically, it will be for the better in 2025, 2026. Trust me, when you're not reliant so heavy on foreign countries and different tariffs and tax that we used to pay. Like, well, trust me, but everything will be better. Just as long as we get through this, it'll be fine. But like you said, it's not fun that it's happening at all. And exactly. it's starting to affect everybody. It's starting to affect businesses.
Yeah,
big
no doubt
business
about that.
Is getting affected by this big time.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah, Steve.
So, where do you guys get value now?
Well,
where
it's
can
definitely
you find that value.
I would say probably in the lunch for sure. I mean, you know, now that I'm working remote for the better part of like 6-7 months before I have to go back into the office, which I'm going to, I basically am going to go back. The biggest thing was really lunch. In the old office, I was, getting maybe a sandwich, but $5, $6, $7, still on the low end. But if you're adding up times five every single day, you're looking at $30, right? So it's like, okay, well, I can't do that. So really for me, it's all about how do I go to the supermarket and look for things that aren't that expensive in terms of pounds. What's the price per pound of certain deli items? I'm very fortunate. Wegmans around here, they're store-bought ham, basically. 98% fat-free, which I love,
by the way.
Store brand ham.
Yeah.
$4.99 a pound right now at the Wegmans that I shop at. And it's fantastic. It's great.
That's awesome.
Just enough to do. And so you got it, all that kind of good stuff. And everything else, so your roast beef, your chicken, all that kind of stuff. And your more important, your better tasting ham, I guess you could say, is all $9.99 and up for a pound. So if you do decide to get that, maybe you go half pound chicken. Maybe you go half pound roast beef. Maybe you go half pound, the honey baked ham or whatever. But you try and at least get it to a point where you have value, you have different variety, and you just make sure that you're eating enough by your portions and you should be fine. That kind of a deal. That's what I do in terms of my lunch.
It's funny that you mentioned that it's the lunch because I saw an article a couple weeks ago that was talking about some like super rich guy. And he's like, well, what tips can you give to people? And that was one of the big ones he mentioned.
My lunch.
He's like, why are you going out every day at work and buying lunch at like $10-$15 a pop?
Yes.
And I in my head I'm picturing like Carl from Aqua Teen. Like, what are you, stupid?
He's got a point.
You make it, you could have the same sandwich that you just make it yourself and buy all the ingredients. You'll save so much money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was like, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
The only place I could say when you go out to eat anymore that it's cheaper to get out is if you go out and get a pizza.
Yeah.
Because it feeds multiple people. And I know John was talking about how he gets like some deal. And so then you have the dinner, but then you have lunch for two or three more days.
Which is huge. It's definitely huge. I try to save money when I'm at the grocery store. I do shopping by myself just because I would rather just get in, get out. We talk it over and then I just go and I like to be on a mission and I'm in, I'm out, and I read the signs. I can handle it. And I always look for HEBs. They don't have those Super Saver cards, which is weird because you don't have that down south that you have like Giant has. Even Kroger has it. Like when I'm here, I still have Kroger point. When I used to hang out in Houston all the time.
There you go.
But they don't, so they have coupons. So it's a lot of reading. It's a lot of read and react. Yes. Like, okay, so if I buy X amount, I get this off, and it's being mindful and being when you're shopping, don't be impulsive. Impulsive buying is what.
Yeah.
Cost you so much money. And I've never been an impulsive buyer, but I can tell you just from my experience of people around me, like impulsive buying is
it's the worst.
It can cost a lot of money for something that you don't need.
Shout out to my mom, who really, I have to give her a lot of props on this, gents, because when I first was moving out here and, you know, you're it's brand new, you know, you're trying to find certain things in the supermarket. It's like you go for what you like and you're just buying it. You're not paying attention to the price. Until my mom and I sat down and said, here's what you do. You look at the price, you know, that's listed there. It may seem simple, but just looking at it, you can see, oh, wait a minute. Okay, if I buy this and I get a second, I shave a certain amount of, you know, dollars and cents off of it. That matters so much in the long run. It really does. And you can get a bounty more of food than you do normally would and things like that. So pay attention to the pricing, Johnny, to what you just said, right?
You just reminded me of something that was funny. That happened like a month ago. So I went to the store and we wanted to get a gallon of milk because we always keep milk here. Gallon of milk. So I looked at the gallon of milk and it was $6.27. And I looked up to the two half gallons and they were $2.40 each. And I was like, Am I reading this? Same brand? Yes, exact same brand. And I looked down and I was like,
so okay, if I get two,
yeah, like, right. Exactly. Get two half gallons.
Guess what? You're actually better off that way because one stays sealed while you drink the other one.
Yeah, you don't. And I wish that was the way of the world because I would always run that way. But yeah, that was why I remember texting my wife. I'm like, maybe they got it wrong, but
there had to have been a misprint somewhere.
I'm happy it happened.
Like, yeah. Exactly.
It paid for another item in the store.
Exactly. And you saved yourself $1.50, if not $2.
And that's what, when you say that you just bought cheese, right? You go down you're buying cheese, right? Cheese is now free. And your total is the same that it would be if you just pay it. That's the one thing. Grocery stores do that all the time. They run sales. They run. My biggest thing to everybody, if they have a card or they have a sign up thing, in my wallet right now, I have like Food Lion from Tennessee. I have my Kroger card. I sign up for every one of them as soon as I go in the store because you never know. If you get $5 off, that's better than not getting $5 off. I mean, exactly. I'm cheap as hell, so I'll gladly admit to that.
Well, I told you guys this story, and I may have said it on the podcast before. The cheapness will only go so far, though, because
quality comes in.
Yes,
yeah.
Couldn't craft a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese cost $1.
Yeah.
I saw store brand macaroni and cheese for 33 cents. I'm like, well, if that's any good, I could buy three boxes for $1, and I've just tripled, you know, my inventory for the same price.
Sure.
My God, was that horrible. It was just disgusting.
Sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth just forking out the 50 cents.
Yep.
And it'll be better.
You know what sales drive me nuts, though, are the ones where it's like, oh, you can get four for $10 or something, but you have to buy four.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like,
and you don't need
each, but you can't just buy one for $2.50. Yeah, you got to buy four for $10.
I'm like, $10. And you don't,
No.
You don't need that four. The three of them are going to hang around for a really long
time. Yeah.
They're probably going to expire by the time you get around to eating them. That's how many you're going to have.
Yeah.
It drives me up a wall.
Yeah. I don't blame you for that, Steve. Yeah. Gosh, that'd be crazy. Yeah. Well, so yeah, I guess that's our way to kind of just really just be observant, I think, is probably our main message, right, guys?
Don't be impulsive and just look before
you buy something. Ed Biden sucks. So it's getting better, but he still sucks.
Hey, I did that.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 173 of Two Noobs Talking. We talked your ear off about the Eagles, but hey, it's better than a sharp stick up the strap. So until next week when we'll have something more cheery to discuss, hopefully, fingers crossed. I don't know. Who knows what's going to come out in the news the next week. But maybe it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
I don't know. No more. No fun police though. I can't.
Oh yeah. No.
So
no.
We're gonna keep that out. But until next week, Cowboys suck. See ya.
Hey everyone, thank you for spending time with us here at Two Noobs Talking. If you want more episodes of Two Noobs, our entire catalog of our podcasts are available here on our YouTube channel, or you could search for us out on your favorite podcast listening platforms, such as Apple, Google, and Samsung Podcasts, along with YouTube Music and iHeartRadio, among others. Hey, while you're there, would you mind leaving us with a 5-star review? Have a great week, and we'll see you again next week with another great episode of Two Noobs Talking. Take care.